Doug Strom, welcome.
Hi, Julia.
Now, your musical path is quite interesting, and your musical message is a very bold and specific one. So let's back up to how and why you got hooked on making music.
Oh, I've been making music since I was 5 years old, okay. And here I am today.
Fair and square.
I used to go around the neighborhood and sing for neighbors for a quarter a song.
Good for you.
That's when I first started getting paid for it.
Then you like the showman part of it, too.
Right, like. That's right.
And once you got through your single digits and became a teen, where did music take you then?
Well, I wrote through high school, and then I got into the restaurant industry, worked several years in the restaurant, all the way up to my own restaurant, Stromboli's, here in town. And then I left the restaurant business after doing a stint with Taco Bell and went to work for Sweetwater, and I've been there for 20 years now.
My goodness, and the whole time, music's always been a part of your life, whether it was in the forefront or the background.
Absolutely.
And as you mentioned, you like the writing part as well as the performance part.
Yeah, I took on and off breaks from writing, doing some stints in Nashville and so forth. And then just the last 5 years, I've been writing pretty prolifically and putting out 3 albums.
Good for you. Now, musical causes, they've always been important to you, I gather.
Yes.
Then versus now, meaning your first album, now that you have just put out your third, and that is called Souvenirs. We will talk about that a little more
okay.
in just a minute. But in the meantime, your first 2 albums, what were the causes that were covered there?
Well, the first 2 albums are the first 2 albums I ever wrote when I came out as a gay man. And instead of writing what I thought would be socially acceptable, I started writing what was in my heart and what I felt and what it felt to be in those shoes. And I started writing towards that audience of, you know, the people that are just coming out. Because when I first started writing, we didn't have gay marriage and we didn't have a lot of the things that we just thought mm-hmm. were a dream, mm-hmm. a pipe dream. And so I would write to that crowd and that audience.
Well, let's talk about fitting in, because admittedly, through your lyrics and your points that you were covering then and still do with your music, fitting in, it's all about that. How young were you when you were conscious of needing to fit in that way and what to do about it?
Oh, I knew when I was 6 years old that there was something different about me, but it was classified as a mental illness. And I was not about to let anybody know I was mentally ill. So I was I was a master at fitting in. You know, I made sure that nobody ever had a clue that I liked men, that I liked guys.
It had to take its toll on you, and it had to be very, very tough. How directly did your music help you through that time and feeling and that whole part of your life?
You know, music to me has always been therapeutic. I can sit in front of the piano and just play. And I used to do it when my kids were real little. You know, I'd just sit there and I'd bang on the piano all night. And it's always been kind of like my go-to ultimate relaxation. And then, of course, the writing came along with it.
That was always a natural fit for
you. Absolutely, yes.
And not that you never do covers, but you feel comfortable singing the stuff that you have
written. That is correct.
Good for you. Not everybody can do that. So no matter what else you've been doing the last 45 to 50 years, including being married, having a family, I am kind of curious, during the times when you were still most worried about fitting in, how did it work for you to have your family, to be married, to be part of that whole scene, and still be grounded?
You know, in that time in my life, and being born and raised Italian Catholic, you just learn to turn that off. You don't address it. You do what you're supposed to do. And that is you get married and you have children and you put these things behind you.
That's not always the place they belong.
Right. And it's not very successful long term. I'm a testament to that.
But you knew it. And that's an incredibly important part of your whole story and your cause that you do sing about and that you do share is not only what worked for you, but encouraging people to look for their own acceptance.
Correct. And between the music and the video, I really put it out that I've been in those shoes. I've walked in those shoes. I totally understand it. I hope you get something out of this. Or somebody who sees it that realizes that that's what a gay person goes through, that they kind of like understand a little bit more and accept them a little bit more. And it goes both ways. It goes for the LGBT community and it goes for the straight community, just kind of bridging that gap of understanding and acceptance.
I commend you for being there and having the courage to do it, but also I am so happy for you for the freedom that you must have gained for yourself for doing this.
Absolutely. I feel this is a very fulfilling thing. just the amount of feedback that I get on social media and on my YouTube pages, and people who just reach out to me personally, how their life's changed for something that I said in a song or a video that they watched, which at first was really kind of embarrassing. And it would make me feel like, how can I have changed your life? But I remember what music used to mean to me when I was a child, and I would listen to something that really was profound. And to be able to understand that something that I've done has had that effect on people is very humbling, very flattering, and very fulfilling.
Good for you, and well-deserved, too. And of course, the importance that goes with it. The proof of a lot of the impact of your music is what has happened since it came out, your causes, and then what you take on or continue to put on your own musical journey, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. Yeah, things have changed so much. Well, that's the name of the first album, Everything Has Changed. That was more personal, but I never realized how prophetic it was going to be.
And metaphorical.
That's right.
And so, your new album, what goes with it? It is called Souvenirs.
Like I said, I've been writing all my life. So Souvenirs is an album that basically is a nod to all the bands and all the music that's influenced me in my life. And if the target audience on this one, and it wasn't intentional, it just happened this way, is going to be anybody that likes the Beatles and the Eagles and Elton John and Queen and ELO and those type of bands. I grew up with it and it shaped me, and the songs are all nods to different songs and influences that I had. And I think everybody in their life, no matter if it's music or no matter who you're dealing with or the people you come in contact with, every instance in your life makes you who you are. They influence you in some way. They mold you in some way. And this album has been molded by all the music that I've loved in the past.
And so it's all part of you, but you're putting it forth. Again, you don't do things without a point and a huge message as well as a hook. So this is all about...
They're souvenirs from my past.
Yeah.
You know, that's exactly what they are. They're souvenirs.
So musically, what's the most impactful thing about this collection, not only to you, but to whomever might hear it?
Well, I tell you, to start off, I have to call out the amazing musicianship and the recording of the people at Sweetwater. They did a phenomenal job. On Mark Hornsby and I produced it, and I've had some incredible musicians on there. And then we went over to Abbey Road Studios in London, and we recorded the strings and some vocals over there. And it took the album from, you know, a really good album to what I think is a really great album. I'm very, very proud of this album.
I certainly hope so. And talk about a lifetime dream being realized.
Absolutely. I sat at the piano that John Lennon and Paul McCartney sat at and played Lady Madonna and back in the USSR. And I'm playing that piano on this album. And just being in Studio B where the Beatles recorded, and so many artists have been in that studio recording, to be in that room, it's like being in church. It was pretty amazing.
And what about the message of this album?
The whole album is everything that happens in your life. You just never know when it's going to become a souvenir. You never know when it's going to become a memory.
Where did they go? All of the years. Some fade away, and others become souvenirs.
And you're there to sing about it and rejoice in it?
Absolutely.
So, Doug, how would you describe your own growth musically and spiritually in this whole wild and crazy process that is your life?
You know, I would say just between my children and my husband and my grandkids and my family, I've just learned from a spiritual standpoint, be kind, help people, and do what you can to be a good person. That's going to come back to you. You're going to go through your life and not have any regrets. Do I have regrets? Of course I do. You know, I've made a lot of mistakes in life. But I feel that I'm aspiring to be a really good person, and it's genuine. It's who I am. Spiritually, I feel be kind. That's the best thing you can do.
So by now, I think it's safe to ask you. In fact, I think I need to ask you right now. How do you love your life?
I love my life. I feel very fortunate where I'm at. I'm very content. I'd like to travel more because I'm a huge travel buff, you know, and there's never enough time for that.
So if I ask you what you would add, it's going to be about the travel.
Yeah, more travel, more vacation.
Right.
Wouldn't we all love that?
That's fair and square. More music, I would
absolutely
hope, from those far off places. And Doug, before I let you go, last question. What do you hope specifically that your music and your message do for everyone that hears them?
I hope that depending on where you are in life's path, when you listen to the music, that you at least get something out of it that is going to hit you dead on and give you some courage or give you some understanding of the path that you're on. And if you're having a difficult time with it, there's several messages in some of the songs that clearly hit those paths, ones that I've been on, and I completely understand what it's like to be there, and hopefully somebody else gets some value out of that.
Doug Strom, a Fort Wayne native, is a singer-songwriter and has just released his third album called Souvenirs. Doug, thank you so much for joining us today and sharing your story with us, and a world of good music to you.
Julia, thank you so much for having me here. It was a pleasure.
That was WBOI's Julia Meek, speaking with Doug Strom, a Fort Wayne, Indiana native, on his musical journey and latest album. The music you're hearing is Shine, from that new CD, which is called Souvenirs. You can hear more of Julia Meek's arts and culture coverage on 89.1 WBOI.
Just some new notion. Did you feel?